Welcome. We are so glad you've joined us today. Are you ready for another Bayside Christian Church podcast? Let's get straight into it.
So welcome, family. Adam, can you share with the church a little bit about your story, when your life became unmanageable and what happened? What led you to transformations?
I picked up a drug, ice, and I got told by people, do not do that. I didn't listen. I obviously was up a little bit. Oh, there we go. Sorry. I was same as Michael. I was missing Jesus in my life. There was something empty inside, obviously, which a lot of people out there are missing him. And that drug ice, it really takes over your life. It takes your soul. Takes your family. It takes everything from you.
Because you actually, Adam, you were own your own business. You're working. You're a bricklayer down in Melbourne. And
yeah, I really was doing. I was doing good. Once ice came into it, it just destroyed me.
Well, if you have a look up at the screen, that's a year after using ice for the first time. 1 year. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hurt a lot of my family, and I was broken. My wife, obviously, I just broke her. She couldn't handle me anymore. She said, "Oh, you got to go." She called my sister Michelle, which I'm grateful for. Michelle, she took me in to her family home, a good family home with, they're not. And I really do appreciate Michelle for doing that, taking me in.
Family, they do suffer alongside, and you could just see that last night, you were just asking for forgiveness and just how much they love you. And they said not beautiful things. They said last night, we just got our brother back. It's pretty inspirational.
I do. Family is everything. With Jesus. And my goal now is to hopefully bring more people to Jesus, including my sister Michelle and just everybody. Jason's already found Jesus, which is beautiful.
You love God now, because we were saying that last night.
I can't believe it,
The first time you were in the program, you left because you didn't want to know God.
Yeah, that's right. I come in for 10 days, people were laying hands on me, and I was freaking out, going, what's going on here? And I just freaked right out. But now, I just love it. And it saved me. I guess he's definitely saved my life. It's really good.
And because obviously you came in and you had to struggle with your mental health, had taken a really low turn, and you struggled a lot with anxiety. And what was doing a program like this? It must have been really challenging. What helped during that process of what did you learn through there?
The biggest challenge was walking through them gates to actually admit that you've got a problem and you need help. Challenges was you come in through the gates and then you meet your buddy and then they throw you in a dorm full of 8 guys, which I'm not used to. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? And you just, that was challenging.
You've just come from your own business, your own house. You're just running your own show, and next minute you're sitting in a dorm full of 8 guys putting up with snoring and getting told what to do. It wasn't easy, but you really stuck it out. And, that fear of confrontation, and because we in the program learn how to do healthy conflict and communication, and there's groups and tools how we do that. And how did you find that side of the program?
I do struggle with the conflict. I tend to avoid everything that I can, avoid people. Every single morning I used to go into the library and just sit there and pretty much hide away from every person that was in there. But I found out you can only hide for so long.
We ended up finding you. And your communication, you said that last night, how much your communication's changed.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I really appreciate Transformations for, the communication that I've learned here. I only worked out yesterday, I was reflecting on it. took a massive walk with Fumi, my wife, and like 4 hours went past, and it didn't even feel like it because I just had the time of my life, and just to be able to communicate on a level like that is, yeah, I do really appreciate it, and I do, I love the church, and I love all the people here, and all the support that we get from all our mentors that come and talk to us, and Pastor Ross and Pastor Pete's word and that, like, it's just inspiring.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you have, you know, on front line, and you've made some really nice friends and supportive friends now in the church, and it's been good, and it's because of your character. You're a great man, Adam, and you should be really proud of yourself, and you and Fumi have an amazing future ahead of you.
Yep.
And is there anything else that you'd like to say to finish off?
I'd like to thank Dave Evans as well, who's out there just for, he talked me, he got me through a lot out there, and I really appreciate you, Dave. Tina and Lisa are just the love that they show and the care for these people. It's unbelievable, and it's an inspiration, and
thanks,
it's so
Adam.
Good. And Jesus, just thanks Jesus. That's it. Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. Well done. Adam loves to worship God. He loves it. He loves the love. All right, let's welcome up to the stage our first female, Becca. You're popular.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, Becca, you are popular because, you know, you've just been travelling around the world. Tina and I were like, here she is. She just rocks up in Harvey Bay rehab out of all the countries that you've been. God definitely had a plan for your life.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Even from a little girl. Look at that little beautiful little girl up there. Growing up in Scotland, Beck. Tell us, what was your childhood like? What was it like growing up in Scotland?
Well, Scotland's a beautiful country, you know, I love it. I grew up in the poorer parts, and my life was around poverty, drugs, crime, you know. I watched people fall. I watched family fall, and then I started to fall, and I thought, well, I better get out. And I always had a hope and a future. So, yeah, just.
And when I've heard your story, it's like you needed to get out, and you've been travelling ever since, really, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been back and forth. I think the first time I left on my own, I was definitely running from things, relationships, and but turned out I was the problem.
Oh,
I know, right? I was surprised as well. I just found that out not that long ago, actually.
Did you hear that, Andrew? Beck's got her best friend from Scotland that's been travelling with her all these years, and I want to welcome Andrew today also. Done the hard yards. So, Beck, I know you've actually, we talked a little, we went into detail last night of how tough programs were for these guys, but what were some of the things that really, that you had to work on throughout your program? What was some of the challenges that you had to face?
I think, like, vulnerability and connection with myself, my feelings, and regulating, you know. Scotland's quite a hard culture, and I had this hard shell that I didn't know what feelings were. I didn't want to know what feelings were. And, I guess just, but I remember you saying to me one time in process, you can't sit on the fence anymore. You need to either be here or there. And, you know, I wanted to give God some parts and keep some parts, but that was the day I was like, I can't do that anymore. I need to either surrender and be vulnerable or...
Wow, I remember that day.
Yeah.
And I remember, and it's been a journey ever since, and you can see how when you do surrender and how God's like, okay, I'm going to go deeper into Rebecca Caulfield.
Yeah,
and,
thanks.
It's just been, honestly, it's just been beautiful, Beck, to see in the relationships that you've made here in Harvey Bay and the church. And what's some of the things that are happening for your life now? What does your future look like? What are you doing right now anyway?
What am I doing? So I'm resident leader for the girls' house and I work part-time. Mm-hmm. Just to save up money, I'm working towards my visa. And, yeah, I want to stay in this country and just, you know, the plans that God has for me, you know. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And yeah, you have, you're working, you're working with Hayden's Cleaning. Mm. Big shout out to Hayden, putting you on. And you're an asset to the girls' house and it's just lovely to have you part of our team.
Yeah.
And is there anything else that you want to say?
Not really, no.
Well, I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty impressed because if anyone struggles with anxiety and panic, you can. It's amazing that Rebecca's just sitting here so chill, swinging on a chair, just having peace in her life. So congratulations,
thank
Becca.
Thank you.
Okay, look and all fly. Let's welcome up Anthony. Looking smart, brother. Check this out. That explains it. That's the life that he came from. It's an amazing, like, wow. You are a completely transformed man of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
All right, Anthony, let's have a look. So, you know, that picture just says it all, but can you share, let's talk about before that. Let's talk about your childhood. You did face many challenges growing up.
Yeah, I did. So we'll go back to, I grew up in a single parent household just with my father. So it was like he went to work, I tried to go to school, and then weekends were just like, I suppose, bikey parties, tattoo shops every night after school, and just free reign of the house. So as I'm growing up, I'm just having all my mates used to just come to my house and we just partied every weekend.
Yeah.
Until I got, well, yeah, I didn't have the best role model. He's a loving father. He'd done the best with what he had, but He just tried to work and keep food on the table and stuff like that, but there was none of the home life. Mm. So the stuff I really wanted to do, I'd go to my mate's house and eat dinner at their house and stuff like that. And I'd get money for takeaway every night and I'd end up buying my mates home-cooked meals off them because I just wanted...
Yeah, you just wanted that family and that love. You grew up down in Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne. Sunshine, Footscray.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then as time went on, I ended up losing my father. He got murdered when I was 17. And that was a big part of my addiction. So on my 18th birthday,
yeah,
I had a big surprise party, but the only person that wasn't there was my father.
Yeah.
And then the government ended up giving me $40,000 when I was 18, and I'm like, what the hell? Look, and I started smoking ice then, and I just started this habit that I couldn't feed or keep control of. I was work, like I'd done my apprenticeship. I started my roof tiling apprenticeship when I was 16, and I completed that whilst all this stuff was going on with my dad and having to plan his funeral and do everything like by myself. But so then I just had this raging habit that I couldn't feed, so the only way to fulfill that life was to go into the life of dealing and
that was the
life of crime and whatever else came along with it. Not much stuff I like to talk about now because it's in the past.
Yeah.
But went to jail and just became this person that I was never.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. You had to face a lot. During your program, you had to face a lot of all of the stuff from your past, you know, forgiveness for yourself, forgiveness of others, You've got three beautiful children.
Yeah, I do.
Saw them last night. They were just so cute. Wishing so proud of you. That's what they said. It was really, really cute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So having to face so much through the program, what was some of the challenges and how was your program?
Well, at the start, I came to get out of jail again. That's the honest truth. I'll tell the truth. I came up. Always said rehab was for quitters. And I came up to come because I knew I was going to jail again. And it did. I come up here and I started the program and I done it for 4 months but had to return to Melbourne to deal with court matters. Mm. I went back and they dropped the charges, praise the Lord. And I thought there's got to be something in this. Like, I don't normally get off and stuff like that. And I'm like, something dragged me back. And I came back on my own accord. And I said, nah, I'm gonna hit this program head on. I'm gonna be the resident leader one day. And I'm gonna help people meet God. And do the best I can. So my challenges in the program were communication. I was arrogant. I had a lot of pride. I didn't know God, and that's the big part of my recovery is, like, I got a shout out to God, like, this church, God made me forgive the person who murdered my father, and that took so much of a weight off my shoulders to do that, and I didn't know that I was carrying around this destruction of my life, and it says it in the Word of God that you will be destructive in all your ways if you don't have forgiveness, and the Word of God is so true, and I call Him my Saviour because He's saved my life, and this program saved my life.
It's awesome, Anthony, it really is. I feel that's exactly why God has you where He wants you, because of you leading other men into victory, because you're leading them to God, and that's why He's honoured you with this role of discipling other men. And because of your relationship with God. Is there anything else that you want to say, Anthony?
I just want to say thank you for the church for being so welcoming and loving. Let us do the role of serving on the door and helping out, because it really makes you feel like you've got a purpose. And I feel love when I come here. Everyone says hello. It feels like a big family. And I want to say to the residents that you can do this one day, and I really hope you do stick it out to the end, because you can't change your life. You just got to keep trying and grab it with both hands.
Okay. Well done, Anthony. Good job. Awesome. Oh, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Oh, it's inspiring. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm telling you, I told you, we're seeing some set free lives here this morning. So powerful. We've got another one. You wait till you hear this chick, Tara. Another set free life. Check that out. Maryborough Watch House here. Bayside Christian Church and Transformations on this side. Oh, Tara, you have just absolutely, what God's done in your life is inspirational. There is a God. Wow. And He transforms lives. You've just been set free, mate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. Tara, you've struggled for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last 10 years particularly. And can you just share with the church what's been so tough, and like, what did your life look like before coming into rehab?
Life was dark and it was lonely. And I didn't have any purpose in my life. I think the worst, I've always struggled with addiction, but when my dad passed away, I think that's when I just went, to another level and I didn't care about anyone and I didn't care about myself.
Yeah.
Obviously. And I just lived a life. I was very selfish and didn't care about anyone but myself. And, I used people and I lied to people and I hurt people and I pushed people away. And
Yeah. You were in and out of jail. How many times?
Probably in the last 10 years, I've probably spent nearly 7 of it in jail.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Just in, out,
just in the 6 times. You said, like, since you were 17, 18, just been in the court system.
Yeah, since I was a juvenile, so... Yeah, I was not sure if it was 15 or 16.
Wow.
So I've just been in and out of court since then.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I'm still battling that just because of, you know, what I done in my past. And
yeah,
I'm still battling that today. And but that's fine. I'm okay with that. I've actually got caught in 2 days again. Yeah. So, you know, I'm still fighting what I, you know, the destruction that my past left behind.
Yeah.
I'm still fighting for that today, like for freedom and...
Well, at least you're not fighting alone now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And God actually has been in the courtroom recently, which was going to send you back to prison. And can you tell the church what actually happened in that courtroom that day?
So I've been waiting nearly 2 years to go to court, and they were pretty serious charges, and it was a 3-day trial. Tina came with me to support me, which was, you know, just a blessing, and wouldn't have been able to do it on my own. And so it was 3 days of just, I didn't know, uncertainty. I think I've been sitting through this program the whole time with an uncertain future. Yeah, but I just kept going.
Can I just make a note while we're talking about that? Because not only did you have to face the program and all of its challenges, and we're telling you to drop the wall, let God in, get your behaviours, let's work on that. And but you had, there was this part of you that was preparing to go back to prison, and you know, so it's pretty hard to send someone vulnerable and weak into a prison setting. So she was in a battle of, you know, wanting to surrender but not really being able to with that over your head. It's really challenging for you.
It was, yeah. And I just had to grab hold of, you know, my recovery with both hands. That's all I had left. Like, I came to rehab from jail, straight from jail. I applied wrote a letter, reached out. I just thought, I need to change my life. You know, what am I going to do? I'm going to die in here. I'm going to end up being alone and I'm going to die in jail. And I was
And it's like, we have so many letters from prison.
Yeah.
It is like we've got boxes full. We just haven't got the service to be able to provide. So it was a blessing. It was only God that Tara's sitting not in. But that's what our God does. He sets people free.
Yeah.
And tell the church what happened in that courtroom that day.
A decision just after 3 days, a decision got made, and I got... all the charges got dropped, and I walked out of there free.
Just walked out of there. We got a photo that we seen last night of her just, you know, jumping off the courtroom stairs. Just like, that's our God. And it's just so, it's been such an amazing journey to watch you, Tara. And what are you doing now? What's your future looking like?
I'm just starting life now, I think.
Yeah,
just starting. So at the moment I'm just enjoying being alive and being healthy and, you know, working along, you know, I've got these guys and, yeah, I'm doing leadership with Beck and look after the girls in the house and just love on them and, you know, try and push them over the line and... it's a personal mission of mine. That's what I want to do, is just try and get as many graduates, on our time of serving. So, because I owe my life to God. Honestly, I really do. I wouldn't be sitting here right now if I didn't open my heart and just believe in, you know, I didn't have a choice anymore. I needed something pretty powerful in my life to change it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and here I am.
Here you are. Praise God.
Thank you.
Well, right, stand up, graduates. It's time to get your eagles. I know you're so excited about this. And your rings. And Tina, would you like to come up? We just want to just step forward, guys. Let's come up here. We just really want to honour you. Congratulations. Well done. Good and faithful servants. You have been set free. Now go make more disciples in Jesus' name.
Hello. I just want to give you and Lisa a shout out and a big thank you. I think I can say it on behalf of all of us, but we're all standing here dressed so smart. This isn't how we usually dress, obviously, but this is in honour, honestly, of you two. Just the work you guys do and the support and everything that you do. I can't thank you guys enough, and we love you so much, and we're here for you guys as much as you are here for us. So we love you heaps, and yeah, thank you.
All right, let's get these trophies. It's just like such an honour, because like these guys probably never even experienced like any sort of graduation. We were talking last night that last night was one of the best nights of their lives that they've experienced. So this morning, so impacting that they can feel honoured from gutter to glory. There you go, Anthony. You got your gold ring? Yeah, check that out. He said at the conference, Mike Barrett's got a gold ring. He goes, I'm going to get that one day. There it is, Anthony. Yeah, he had to pay for that one himself. Congratulations, Becca. Here you go, Coxie. Adam Cox. Michael Holloway. Lee Tulick. Yoo-hoo.
Wow, how awesome. Why don't we all stand together? I'm going to invite some of the ministry team and some of family members and friends. Just come forward. We want to pray a prayer of blessing on them today. And those who are connected, family members, if you'd like to come and join us, some of the mentors and leaders, come on, let's all come up here. Come forward a bit more so others can come. And we want to pray a prayer of blessing on them as a church. I know many of you have been involved in connecting with them and sharing this journey, because it is a journey together. And we want to say thank you, church, for loving and accepting them. You've heard some of their stories. I mean, I just cry every time I hear these stories, because I thought, this is the gospel at work. Jesus said, I will transform lives and set the captives free. This is what's happening here. People are being set free in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to say that to each of the graduates, Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He watched your life when you were going through the trauma. He's helped set you free now, and he's going to walk with you from now until eternity. He truly is the beginning and the end, and you can trust him with all of your life. Why don't we reach out and pray? Father, we thank you for these beautiful men and women. Thank you for their transformed lives. Thank you for your love shining out of their hearts. Your light has truly come into the darkness. You've now filled them with love and hope and peace and joy. Lord, I thank you for your grace that has overwhelmed their lives, your undeserved favor. Lord, they've all seen your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we pray, Lord, not only for today, but for the rest of their lives, they would walk in your ways. They would see your blessing overflow. Lord, many other lives will be set free because of what you've done in their hearts. Their families will be reunited. Their relationships will be restored. Lord, there'll be overflow from their lives that will bring great glory to our amazing God. Lord, continue to heal and restore them. Lord, areas where there's still wholeness coming, we just pray that will continue to flow, to increase. Lord, I thank you for your blessing over them. I thank you for all the transformations, men and women. Thank you for our church family. Lord, that together we've seen your grace demonstrated, poured out, your compassion flowed through them. And we just pray for any of the upcoming challenges with court cases still to happen, Lord, for your favor, your breakthrough. Lord, the careers they set out on, the ministries they launch into, I thank you for this day. And we say, you are an amazing God. And you that you have fearfully and wonderfully made these beautiful people in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Adam. God bless you so much. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, let's give them another hand as they go back to their seats. God bless you. So beautiful. So powerful. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you. Let's take our seats. I'm going to invite Tina to come and just share a short word of encouragement as we celebrate this amazing day. We do this twice a year, and these are my favorite services of the year. And as I sit here and listen, I thought, hey, this is the gospel at work. This is the kingdom of God being revealed. This is so, so powerful, so profound. And we want to honor Pastor Tina. She's been leading this now, involved for 14 years. And I remember a couple of years ago we chatted and we've realized that there's probably over 1,000 men and women have come to Christ through this program in the last 14 years. We must be getting close to 100 that have graduated. I'm not sure, but we must be getting close to 100 that have graduated and many others have been transformed. God bless you, Tina, to share the word with us.
Thank you, Pastor Ross. So good. So awesome. It's just so very emotional. And I've got to hold myself together because, you know, you've got to breathe and hold yourself together. Hold yourself together. Hold yourself together. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. That's what I've got to say to myself because it is so emotional, you know, when you watch and hear their journeys and hear such things that they've been through and experienced, you know, and see that transformation and the God's love just heal them. So, yeah, it is very emotional. But, you know, I actually really want to personally at this point too thank Pastor Ross and Mary Lynn and just the church for all what they do. Everybody that you are so supportive and how wonderful you guys are. I just want to just thank you so much for all the support that you give our guys and just continuing mentoring the people that mentor them, that take them on, people who give financially, people who just support us for, and just people who just want to be, you know, even their op shops or where you come and work or whatever area that you support, we just, even just saying hello. And especially the prayer team that I know that you sometimes really get down there and just cry for our transformation guys. So I just can't thank you enough. And also want to thank, you know, all our staff, our great leaders, Lisa Love, and her team, everybody that just continues to come round and build these men and women up to who they were created to be, fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. You know, so, yeah. And you know, like I was also, I've put a partner for five on your little seats. And so if you want to continue to help us financially, there's a $5 a week and we would love to have that support from you guys to keep this ministry going. But today I just want to talk about about a gate, but I'm just so proud. I want to talk about a gate, about the gate of Jesus. But in that, I want to also talk about how proud I am of, you know, how these men and women have become true disciples of Jesus. You know, like our leadership team, all those guys that you've seen as part of, they are learning to, you know, be, they're learning to help, they're learning to teach, they're learning to be students in it all. They're built up in God, they're built up in faith. You know, it's just such an honour to be able to take them through this process of building them and building them to be the leaders they were created to be. Yeah. And the other day, I'll tell you, the other day we actually, this is how powerful sometimes our ministry gets to, well, it's powerful anyway, but, you know, like in prayer, we actually set aside sometimes once a year to march around our building, our campus, seven times. And we prayed. I've got a shofar, not that yellow trumpet that you're going to see later, but I have got a shofar, and we go around, we pray, and then we go around, and then we and let off the this shofar. And, you know, like what we're praying for is, and what we're believing for are just, you know, God's breakthrough. And it's just, it's like Joshua in the Bible. I just, symbolically, I just take that role and I get these guys, come on, and they rear in, and they're going, you know, like, yeah, they're all in it. They're all in it. And, you know, like we ask God to open and shut doors. We ask for, you know, his provision for finances. We ask him to continue to lead and guide us. We ask him to fill us with his love and his wisdom so we can continue to help others, bring anything to light that is hidden in darkness. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. And protect any protect us from any of the enemy schemes. Right. And like, it is just so amazing. Just, I mean, we pray every morning anyway, but it's just so amazing to watch just that, the power of prayer, the power of prayer and faith that works. You know, and what, how God intervenes in that. And when we come back and the next minute things are coming out to the light, and think, okay, yeah, there's something going on there. It's quite amazing. Or, you know, provision. Next minute we've got some money in the bank. Next minute we've got some, you know, we're owning the property. Woo! Yes. You know, those are the things that, you know, we've been doing over the last 14 years and building these guys up. This is where I want to start with the actual, our little gate. So at our campus, we have a white fence with a white gate where our new residents enter through when they first come in. And we pray over that gate that our residents will encounter the love of God and get to know Jesus. And as you can see, church, that these graduates have encountered Jesus. And it's written in the Word of God, this is how it's written in the Word, they have entered a gate that Jesus talks about. And you and I have also entered that gate, yeah, that Jesus gate. Yeah. It's written that Jesus said, I am the gate. Yeah. And whoever enters through me will be saved. Wow. Beautiful. They will come in and go out and find pasture, rest. Wow. John 10:9 says that. But in another version, it says, I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. Wow. This confirms he wants us to have a better life than the one we were living, all of us. Yes. So I visualize that this gate on our campus is symbolic, that it will bring life, salvation, and healing to all who come through that gate. And as most of you know, our spirit connects with God through the Holy Spirit. And once we are connected, he starts to write the laws of love on our hearts. We can only do this through love. Yeah. And you only have to hear last night, love. Just the amazing depth of love. And it takes a student for, you know, someone who is eager to learn and follow and put into practice God's love and allow God's love to transform them. And that's what's happening. The Word of God is also taught that at our campus that for those who want to hear it, this gate of salvation, rest and freedom holds a better life than the life they were living and they were once living. But Jesus also warns us about another gate that represents the one that is dangerous to live in. In Matthew 7:13, it says, Jesus said his gate is narrow. His gate is narrow. But there's another gate that is wide, and the road through it is broad, and it leads to destruction. And sadly, Jesus said many actually enter through it. Jesus continues on to warn us about even through the, he said, when I am the gate. Jesus, after the next line, he says, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. We as Christians know him as Satan, the father of lies. Jesus also said that he's been a liar since the beginning, and we as humans have been listening to him since the beginning of time. That's our previous life, and even our life sometimes today, we still sometimes are consumed with things that, is that a lie? Is that truth? No. Even our self-worth, things that God says, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and you're saying, oh, I'm an idiot, what a fool, you know, saying things over yourself that are not true. Yeah. Fact is, Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy at every level of society. From the foods we eat to education we receive, our upbringings, propaganda delivered to us with part truths, the changing moral compass of society, what's acceptable body image, poverty, greed, power, influence. And without us realizing, we are easily led through the gate of destruction. Galatians 5 tells us that our flesh naturally desires or behaves opposite to God's spirit of love, that gate. In all of us, sometimes our natural being can be influenced to react or act out of pride, envy. You know, like Anthony was saying, I was prideful, I was arrogant. And, you know, jealousy, selfishness, offense, one of the biggest things they got to learn in our program is learn to get over offense. You know, actually, when you get offended, it's so easily to be in that gate of destruction. We hold on to bitterness. We hold on to things that aren't healthy for us. And that's why, you know, even Anthony said, I had to forgive that man that murdered my dad. Because, you know, bitterness takes hold of us and it's a gate of destruction. It destroys our soul. So there's no freedom in that fruit. Fruit such as offense can lead to blame, unforgiveness, and to anger and hatred. Envy and jealousy can lead to unhealthy competition, comparison. I'm not good enough. Look at them. Working to prove yourself and being someone you're not just because you see somebody else do something. It's all that gate of destruction that takes us down the wrong path. Pride can lead to self-focused behavior, stubbornness and arrogance, which leads us to be unteachable, opposite to humility. And when you're in a humility and teachable student, you know, that's where you learn. That's where you grow. We have this unhealthy triangle that we teach these guys. There's an unhealthy triangle and there's a healthy triangle about student, teacher and mediator. And the other one is persecutor, victim and what's the other one? Rescuer, thank you. That's the unhealthy triangles. We teach them that. You know, so, and that's what they've got to grow through. And all of us, they're not the only disciples here. We're all disciples.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all on that path. I'm not just talking to these guys. I'm talking to us all, including myself. Because I can still get offended. You know, I can still sometimes be stubborn. Don't ask Mark that.
So unteachable, opposite to humility. I don't have to listen, I'll do it my way. Opposite to trusting God. These are the roads to destruction. Gates in ancient time were vulnerable. Gates, think about this. Jesus said this in ancient times, 2,000 years ago. The gates of a city wall. That's where the enemy used to, you only have to look in movies. I love movies like that. And they barged in at the gate. The enemy. That's where they'll get you, at that gate. So the gateway is our soul. The gateway is your soul, and your and Satan has access to your soul. God has access to your spirit.
That's right.
So no wonder we need to be self-aware and alert, submit and pray, be teachable and allow God's intervention, because at times some of us can be vulnerable to offense, pride, unforgiveness, gossip, selfishness, greed, all the works of that flesh. And Satan knows our weaknesses, and he exploits us in our weaknesses to take advantage of us. He'll have you walking out sometimes. People walk out of this church because they're offended because somebody didn't talk to them, or the pastor preached something wrong, or something went wrong. The same goes with these guys. Offense happens, and the next minute the guy's gone. Or our graduates, some of our graduates still, something goes wrong. They're still so very vulnerable. And as I said, you know, I have seen it in some of our residents and our past graduates. They are still very vulnerable to the enemy's attack on them. We are all very vulnerable. But most new Christians are the most vulnerable. Paul writes that the enemy lurks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And it's up to all of us to continue to disciple, to love, to intervene, to pray, and protect those who are vulnerable. And even for ourselves, we still need it. And being vulnerable to somebody, I need help. I'll do it my, you know, like it's, I can do this. No, be vulnerable. Like Beck has to learn to be vulnerable. His gate is now open for both of, or for all of us, you and I and the residents. But the danger is how to keep, the danger is how to keep from being led back through the gate of destruction. And as I said, it's our job to support and love them. Once they know that the key is to discern between the good and bad fruit. They can choose the fruit that causes destruction or change, or to choose or allow God to grow them in the fruit of the Spirit. And I think one of them said, I didn't have any of the fruit of the Spirit. And we know what the fruit of the Spirit is that God is wants to actually produce in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know, they're all good fruits. That doesn't mean to say we're all perfect at them, and there's times when, you know, we're not. But allowing them to actually dominate our lives is danger, danger. Anybody know Will Robinson? Danger, danger, Will Robinson. So this is what our ministry is about, helping men and women, learning how to love themselves, love others, and love and hear and pray to God. But we all practice listening. As we all practice listening and following God's spirit, we will experience freedom, life, and salvation. And I'm so honoured to love and disciple these men and women to where they are, and continue in this process, you know. And I just really want to thank you for all the support. And, just keep on loving each other on the church. Be aware of that gate, because that can take us down, and we can be here for one another and support each other. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Wow, thank you so much. Worship team, come on up. Wow, God is so good. That was a very powerful message. The gate, let's give a hand for Tina and her ministry, her leadership, all that she does. I just think, God, you're amazing. I remember the day when Darren Yates talked to me about 15 years ago with Mike Barrett, said, I think I've found the ministry that we need to do to help people with addictions. And for 2 hours I asked every question I could because I knew this was going to change our church. But the more I asked, the more I thought, this is God. This is a way to reach and transform so many people's lives. Today, we've heard the message of transformation through Jesus. Why don't we stand in his presence today? And we can't finish a service like this without praying and giving you an opportunity to enter in through the gate of salvation. Maybe today you're here and you're thinking, hey, I haven't made that step yet. I've been walking down the pathway, the broad pathway, where there's a lot of junk going on in my life. Or I've just never really heard the message of love and truth like many of these residents hadn't heard until they came into the program and they came to church. And maybe you're all still on that journey saying, well, where does this all fit? Maybe you just haven't had the opportunity to open your heart and walk through the gate today of salvation and hope in Jesus. It's not a religious thing. This is a relationship with the living God of love and hope and forgiveness for all of our lives. Why don't we just close our eyes for a moment? I just feel his holy presence here today. I'm sure your heart's been moved like mine has with the stories. But each of us are on our own journey. Maybe we're not wrestling with addictions, but if we're not following Jesus with all of our heart, there'll be stuff controlling us or influencing us that doesn't need to be, and it brings about bad fruit. And I want to ask you the question, do you know this beautiful Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him as your Lord? Do you know him as one who's forgiven you and is changing your life? If you can't say yes to that with all of your heart, I invite you to just open your heart and walk through the gate today. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in this holy moment, I want to say, do you want to make this step? Maybe you've done it before, but it's time to reaffirm, and maybe you've never, ever really made that choice or decision. But today,
thank you for joining us. The Bayside Christian Church community aims to transform our city and beyond with the life and power of Jesus Christ. If you want to know more or just keep in touch, check us out at www.baysidechristianchurch.com.au or follow us on our social media sites at Bayside Christian Church.